everybody. Welcome to Beyond the Boob.
It's week 6 of my pregnancy, where I give you all the behind-the-scenes details of growing my fetus. And Maureen, who is my midwife, is going to give me the prenatal education and you that you're definitely not going to get in your clinic visit.
Okay, well, how are you feeling, Heather?
It's been a bad week. I don't want to bring everybody down, so if you need something that's going to make you laugh, maybe come back to this.
Yeah, absolutely. Do you want to start with the bad week?
Yeah. So I was actually feeling really good. Week 5, I was like, you know, a little, I guess, mentally in and out of like, oh yeah, pregnancy. Oh, like, oh no. Oh yeah. Oh no. Because you don't really feel anything. And I was like, at least I still feel good. And I was like eating 30 grams of protein every meal and working out 4 times a week. And then the Super Bowl happened and I had a big thing of venison chili that my husband made, and I woke up at like 1 o'clock in the morning and I was so nauseous and I was like, what is going on? I thought it was morning sickness and I was like, this is such a random, horrific feeling at 1 in the morning. I'm like, really? And then I got up and I threw up for 6 hours straight. Diarrhea, had to make Sophie's Choice several times of like, should I barf or poop, you know? And yeah, so I ended up with norovirus, which was not cool. And I ended up spotting that morning and I lost like 5 pounds of fluid overnight. So I was a little concerned. And of course, I messaged Maureen and I was like, I think I'm going to muscle through it. And you're like, I think you're going to go get some fluid.
Absolutely. Yeah. I learned the hard way that having a gastrointestinal virus while pregnant or breastfeeding dehydrates you very, very quickly. And honestly, it's really dangerous for you. So I told you, you need to either call a friend who can give you IV fluids at home or go into the doctor.
Yeah, I chose to go to urgent care because I wanted that Phenergan. I was like, yeah. Oh, it was just so, it was horrendous. So, oh, and the chili, oh my God, of all the things to throw up in the world.
Oh, I feel like it would just burn coming up.
Well, I was just having flashbacks to my husband chopping up a jalapeno, being like, I'm going to put a little jalapeno in this, give it a little pop. And I was like, oh, okay. Well, yeah, he did it. So anyway, I was spotting and that kind of concerned me a little bit. And it was light pink and it wasn't very much. But of course, it was a little bit beyond that implantation bleeding phase. So, you know, and I'm a midwife, guys. But when it's you and you're feeling terrible, you have to have a provider because like your brain goes completely blank and you don't really understand what's happening to your own body anymore. So I called Maureen and I was like, hey, this is what's happening. Am I having a miscarriage? What's going on?
Yeah. And really at that point, the problem with first trimester bleeding is that there are like 100 reasons for it. You know, the most common reason is that the cervix is essentially becoming super vascular in early pregnancy, which means it's growing lots of new blood vessels and sometimes these tiny little capillaries that it's full of just burst and you get a little bit of bleeding. And that can be just from like too much movement or agitation. And so that's where my brain went first, because you were like, well, I was violently throwing up all night. And I was like, cool. So your diaphragm was just like beating your organs over and over. You know, that could certainly cause a little bit of spotting. You know, it could have been like a burst, like luteal cyst or something. Or it could be the start of a miscarriage. And there's really clinically no way for us to separate those things out if you're like, well, I just started spotting.
Yeah.
And that's not a great position to be in. It doesn't feel good to not know.
No, it feels super bad. And also, we are naturally selfish animals. And I don't know this baby yet. So when you're feeling this bad, you're like, just make it stop. Literally, make all of this end. I don't care. And then, of course, there's the other voice that comes in that's like, you care. You care.
Yeah, absolutely. And like statistically, if we look at like severe GI distress in pregnancy, most of the time it's not going to affect the pregnancy, but there is a slightly increased rate of things like miscarriage, stillbirth, preterm labor, etc. you know, we don't have great statistics on it because not everybody who comes in to report those things says that they had severe GI distress. Not every miscarriage is reported. So, you know, we also tell people, oh, yeah, you'll probably be fine with, you know, norovirus or whatever. But there's a small chance it could be triggering a miscarriage.
Yeah, you never know. And so I go to urgent care. Urgent care. I can't even talk.
Always
you guys.
The best choice. We love an urgent care.
Yeah. God. Yeah. So I go to urgent care and they're like, what do you need? And I was like, I'm probably going to need some fluid and some Phenergan. And they were like, okay. And I mentioned that I was spotting. And so they immediately look at me and they're like, so we can't do anything about the pregnancy related stuff here.
Oh my God.
So we'd like to send you to the emergency room. And I was like, no, I will decline that. Please.
Right. And the ER, do they think the ER wants a pregnant woman?
No, they do
Hell
not.
No.
They do not.
You walk into the ER pregnant and they're like, cool. So you're going to go upstairs to the second floor.
Yeah. Or you're going to wait there for 12 hours so the OB resident on call can come down and do a vaginal ultrasound on you to tell you that there's no heartbeat because it's too early or it's dead.
Right.
And you're like, yeah, this helps me none.
Yeah, exactly. And frankly, it's a really like uncomfortable, dehumanizing experience most of the time.
Yeah. So I just looked at her and I was like, listen, I'm a midwife. I understand the assignment. I'm like 5.5 weeks pregnant. So if it's not happening, it's not happening. There's nothing the ER can do for me, but you can help stabilize me so my body can do the rest of whatever it's going to do. She was like, yeah. Okay. And then she goes, but we don't have any Phenergan. And I said, what?
What?
I said, how? And she's like, oh, it's just really hard to get anymore. It's even hard for the emergency room to get it. And I said, why? And she was like, I don't know. And she's like, would you like some Zofran? And I was like, no, I don't want Zofran. You're not supposed to give that before 10 weeks anymore. And she's like, yeah. I know, but if you're desperate. And I was like, I don't need any more anxiety, lady. And so I laid there getting my first bag of fluid. And I'm thinking, why can't she give me oral Phenergan? I was like, can't they just prescribe that? So I said, hey, do you have oral Phenergan? And she's like, oh, yeah, look, I found some. And I said, cool. Yes. Thank you. She's like, well, do you think you're going to throw it up? And I said, I don't care.
You're like, let's try.
That's a risk I'm willing to take. So she goes, do you want a 25 milligram tablet or do you want half of it? And I said, I would like half now and half later, please. And she laughed and she goes, okay.
Oh my God.
Oh, I said, yeah, I would really like to split that up and get as much relief as possible. She's like, sounds good. So anyway, I survived. I had 2 bags of fluid and still did not have to pee after that, which is incredible.
Bad.
And then I, let's see, it was the next day I was totally just wasted, of course. And then the day after that, I worked a little bit, but I wasn't like doing amazing at anything. And then basically my morning sickness kicked in as soon as I started to feel even slightly better from the norovirus. And I want to vomit all the time now, just all the time. And I'm really mad about it. I'm bitter and I'm going through a grieving process and I'm upset.
So what happened with your spotting after the urgent care?
Oh, right. So it kind of just turned brown and then it was very minimal and it lasted for about 24 to 36 hours and then it stopped. So I'm assuming it's the cervical disruption, like you said, because I haven't had any more bright red or anything like that.
Yeah. Yeah. And typically if spotting is going to progress into a miscarriage, we're either going to see it be consistent for a few days before it increases, or it's going to increase within like 24 to 48 hours. And, you know, that's not every time, but usually if we see the color change and the amount become less, then we're going to assume we're in the safe zone. But it's definitely scary. And the only upside to your nausea now is it does tell us that your pregnancy is hormonally progressing.
Yeah. Yay.
Yay. It is a really hard thing to feel happy about sometimes.
It is, you guys. It is. If you are having difficulty like feeling super pumped during this phase, it's okay. Like, it's normal. You don't know who this person is yet, and they're inconveniencing you greatly. And the stark change that happens basically overnight is very jarring, you know, and it's hard to kind of reconcile that in your brain where you're like, yes, I chose this and I'm so happy about it. And you're like, what have I done?
You don't have to feel happy about it.
I don't
have to.
I don't feel happy about it. I'm pissed about it. I don't have time for this. I hate being sick. And of course, if you were like, Heather, you're going to be sick until week 12, I'd be like, okay, I can do it. I have a goal and then I'm going to feel better after that. But just the impending thought that it could be the whole pregnancy makes me so depressed. And like, I went to a bad headspace yesterday. I'm not going to lie.
Yeah. And that's understandable. You know, I had a pregnancy like that and it was awful. And I don't wish that on any person ever. 9 months of nausea. Hell no. I'm hopeful that it's mostly first trimester for you. I was up by Heather last night working. So I found the Walmart that had the tea I wanted and drove across town. I got her some ginger tea, some peppermint tea, some red raspberry tea. I got her a bunch of different like anti-nausea hard candies and some crackers. And I hope any of that helped.
I did drink half a cup of the raspberry tea last night. And I did sleep better, so I was not laying there all night nauseous. I did get some sleep. I woke up probably 10 times and was like, I'm nauseous every time I woke up. But I was able to go back to sleep as opposed to the night before where I just like basically waited for morning and, you know, debated whether or not to stick my finger down my throat.
And the worst thing is it's not like nausea from a virus where if you do throw up, you feel better. You don't always feel better if you throw up with the pregnancy nausea. It just keeps going sometimes, and that's horrendous.
And I don't get it. Like, I just don't understand it. I don't know why human beings would be designed this way. Usually, I'm pretty okay with the way nature has set things up because usually it's our fault if they've gone off the rails because we've disturbed nature's natural pattern or whatever. But this makes no sense to me. And we don't know what causes it. And that just infuriates me.
Yeah, absolutely. You're not alone in being confused because so is every scientist who's ever tried to study this. And if you guys, you know, go through Google Scholar and you're like, why do we have nausea in pregnancy? You get a bunch of theories, which are interesting. None of which actually really help us, though. I don't know. The one theory that I find a little bit helpful talks about how, like, because your metabolism is changing really rapidly, we experience more periods of low blood sugar, which can cause frequent nausea. So eating frequently can kind of help with that. And that works for some people. But I did read an interesting paper the other day, because I was thinking about this, where the theory was, so they were researching this based on the fact that so far, we have not found any other mammals who seem to experience nausea in early pregnancy. And granted, they can't just come out and tell us like, no, I'm not nauseous. But, you know, we can study like their behavior patterns and their eating patterns. And if they don't change, we're like, they're probably fine. But humans do, and in large numbers. And the theory was that it might help us avoid dangerous foods that could harm our embryos at this point, particularly things like teratogens, right? Because the first trimester is kind of one of the more dangerous times for ingesting chemicals or foods or plants or whatever that could like harm baby's organ development. And, you know, their theory was like, oh, because a lot of people have aversions to meats and meats spoil really easily and alcohol and tobacco and bitter things, like those are traditionally kind of the like poisons we might be exposed to in like early human history. I don't know. It was an interesting theory, but it doesn't actually help us at all right now.
No. And there's no like fixing it.
No, there's no like telling your body, well, I'm not going to eat poison, so you can just stop.
Yeah, you can just stop doing that. And there's no vitamin in the world that's going to help you. And also, yeah, you know, I've been pretty lucky so far that the worst of it is usually at night. I guess that's lucky. I don't really know.
Yeah, how do you feel right now?
Because
it's early in the morning.
I feel not great. So I never feel awesome, but I did eat cereal and okay. I choked it down and I was able to keep down my prenatal Smarty Pants gummies, which is good. And you can always take those at whatever time of day. You don't have to take them in the morning, just so you guys know. We definitely want
to stay on
that.
Sometimes it's better to take them like with a meal if they make you feel nauseous.
For sure. Or you can split them up. So if you have the gummies, you mm-hmm. can do like two and then two if four is too many. Yeah, I don't know. I feel like you're not sure if you should eat or throw up or not eat. You know, that's just kind of, I feel a little dizzy too, to be honest. I just feel off.
Yeah.
What's up with the dizziness? Like, why that?
Honestly, your whole system is currently being hijacked. So 6 weeks, we're still an embryo, but we look a lot more like a shrimp. We're a little C-shaped tiny friend. And we got little nubbins for arms, little bumps. And the neural tube is closed now, or closing currently.
Really? Already?
Yeah. And it's still just a tube. It's not like a brain and a nervous system and a spine yet. But yeah, it's closed off now. And like growth is just kind of exponentially increasing. And those cells, we talked about last week, like the cells were starting to differentiate. Now they're forming the very first bits of the structures that they will need to be for those organs to form.
Yeah. So aren't we working on like a brain and spinal column and all of those things?
Yeah, in the most rudimentary way. And like we're starting to get like little tiny bumps on this shrimp that might be eyes one day and ears one day. And it's really, it's... So have you, Heather, have you seen the 3D renderings of what this looks like?
Yes.
Honestly, I don't know who cursed us with this knowledge, but it's a really creepy thing because in reality, yes, it does look like that, but it's really tiny and it's like very different than seeing this blown up 3D rendering on your phone. You're like, that is not in me. Is that in me?
Yeah. It's like the size of a pea. And it's very strange to think about that being inside of me wreaking all this havoc when it's that small.
Yeah, absolutely. You're like, come on, dude. You're like, how many cells? And you're messing with my whole body?
Yeah.
But that's really what's happening. It, you know, this little creature, beautiful baby that it will be one day. Right now, we don't feel like that. But it's hijacking every part of your body. You're redoing circulation and how you digest food. And I mean, it's wild the changes that your body goes through so you can make another body.
Yeah. And it happens so fast. And the first trimester is a crazy time. I mean, I can't even believe everything that happens in the first trimester. It kind of, you know, I feel like the rest of pregnancy almost pales in comparison to what's going on during that first trimester time. Yeah. But unfortunately, it's also the time where you feel the worst and the least connected to your sprout. So
absolutely. It's uncertain whether or not the pregnancy will continue. Baby looks nothing like a baby, feels nothing like a baby, and your body feels like crap.
Yep. Just wanted to normalize that. I did have a couple moments where I was like, okay, Heather, this has to be mind over matter. Don't be such a weak ass bitch. You know, like you can do this. I was like, just when people ask you how you're feeling, you tell them you feel amazing. You say, I feel great. I feel so good. You know, just like fake it to make it. And then an hour later, I'm like, I gotta lay down.
I am very supportive of just being honest about this. And if someone asks how you are, you can say, like a pile of hot garbage. Thank you for asking.
Yeah. Okay. I mean, I'm thankful, you know, I'm thankful. I'm just still kind of shocked that it didn't take any time at all. I'm surprised that it worked still, you know. I think even when you try for a long time, I've still heard from people that they're like, I can't believe it worked, you know, where it's like just shocking that it's happening to you.
For sure. And I want to remind you that you told me it was okay to feel basically nothing positive about my pregnancy for, I feel like I was pretty consistent with that for like 7 months.
Yeah.
And that was fine. And I have a child who I adore now. And it didn't change the way I feel about her or her birth or any of that. So however long you need to feel the way you feel is not a problem.
Okay. Thank you.
Yeah, you're welcome. I understand and I empathize. And I think a lot of our listeners will be nodding their heads like, yes, the first trimester is terrible.
Oh, also, speaking of nodding our heads, let me just talk about my relationship really quick because
this
kind of surprised me. So like my husband is kind of going through, I think it's settling in for him as well. And I've just kind of noticed like the more sick I felt, the more he kind of withdrew from me. Not that he's not helping me, but he's not like looking at me. He's not like holding my hand. He's like crunching numbers a lot more. He's starting to like freak out a little. he's doing that man thing that they do where it's like overwhelming. So they try to latch onto things that they are very familiar with, like money and data. Yeah. And
it's the provider thing to do, you know, when he's like, my brain is now in the provider space. And how can I do that?
Yeah. Well, he's seeing me kind of be down for the count. And I bring in like money to our family. You know, we are a dual income household. And so he's looking at me almost like I've never been looked at before quite like such a liability. You know?
So romantic.
I know. And so last night I just like I forced him to put his phone down in bed and I said, "Can we hold hands?" And he was like, "Yes."
Oh.
And so we're holding hands and I said, "Are you okay?" And he was like, "Yeah, I mean, I guess I gotta be." And I was like, "No, that's not what I asked. Are you okay?" And he's like, "Yeah, it's just really overwhelming." And I was like, "Okay, this is good. I'm also overwhelmed and it's going to be okay." I said, "Do you want to keep this pregnancy? Let me just put it out there." And he goes, "What? Yes, of course." And I was like, "Okay, it doesn't have to be yes, of course. I'm just asking." You know, like if you are having serious regrets to the point where you can't look at me, then we need to talk about that. Like that's a problem. And he's like, "No, I'm just trying to figure out, like, of course, I'm worried about money." And then it all starts coming out. So if your partner is suddenly treating you different, it's because they're freaking out, and try to be compassionate with them too and start some dialogue because it's hard for everyone.
Yeah, I'm really glad that you initiated that and Cash was like in an emotional place where he could tell you.
Well, and also it is hard, but we've been together over 5 years now and we've already had a baby together. So if this is your first baby with your partner, that might go a little differently. I feel like expectations are a little bit higher because you've just never done it before. So maybe that's also a good idea to have some expectations conversations. Like, and Maureen classically said last night, "No, Heather, it's just that the idea of something is very different than the reality of something." And it's like, oh, yeah, that's so true.
Absolutely. And, you know, it would have been okay if Cash was like, "You know what? This reality, I don't know if I'm ready for." Like, you need to have those conversations if that is what your partner's feeling, because just pretending that they're not regretting choices isn't going to solve the problem, right? And having those conversations like right when they're happening, right when the pregnancy is really new, is really going to allow you guys to move past them or move forward with them or whatever you guys decide to do as a couple. But, you know, you don't want to be finding out that your partner has regrets like the day your baby's born.
Yeah.
And I've seen that
between
couples, literally, as I've like caught their baby.
Yeah. And the dad's like got one foot out the door and you're like, okay. Yeah.
Like, and that really does happen to a lot of first time parents, you know, and understandably so. Honestly, like that was not my experience with my first baby. Our relationship fell the fuck apart that first year. Mm-hmm. And that happens a lot. And I think it's really, really worth it to try to do the work to build a more stable foundation before your baby comes, even though it's really hard.
And try not to take it personally. Yeah. If they're like, I'm freaking out, that doesn't mean they don't love you. And that doesn't mean that they didn't want to get pregnant when you got pregnant. It just means that, like, they're a human being and they're, you know, they're also, I don't think people are as good as they think they are at picking out the exact reason why they're upset. You know, yes. So I think the pregnancy becomes just like this overarching scapegoat for like overwhelm.
Yeah, absolutely. Well, as we move into the next week, what are you thinking, Heather?
Well, I'm going to keep dragging my ass to the gym. And I don't care if I throw up while I'm there. I don't care if I can only do half the exercises. I'm just going to keep showing up. I'm going to try because I just want to be able to say I did everything I could. And I did go last night, and it was kind of rough because, I mean, with all the puking and just in general yeah. being sick, it's hard to get back to the gym. But I took it kind of easy, but I didn't feel horrible the whole time I was there. There was a couple times that I was like, whew. But really, I didn't feel super nauseous. And it was kind of a nice break from feeling nauseous. So I'm going to keep going.
I'm so supportive of that. If there are any days you either don't get to the gym or you get there and you can't do anything and you feel really bad, I want you to text me. And I will remind you that you're a badass bitch and it's okay to skip a day.
Okay, thank you. I'm also going to schedule an acupuncture section. Oh my God, Maury.
Baby's eating your brain. Yeah,
you know what I mean. I'm going to schedule an acupuncture session and I already have a chiropractic appointment scheduled. And anything else I should do?
No, I mean, I think you have very ambitious plans. And I'm very supportive of acupuncture. It can do wonders for nausea where other things do not work. So I am super hopeful that you at least get enough relief from that to function while we kind of wait out the first trimester stuff. And I think everybody would be very interested in hearing your feedback from that.
How about hypnotism? Do you think I could get hypnotized?
I mean, I know basically zero about that. So I would love to hear. If you do that, please tell me.
I'm going to do it. I will do anything at this point.
I'm into it. Yeah, let's do it. Stick you with needles, straighten your back, and hypnotize you. Okay.
Oh, you guys, thanks for coming on the journey with us. And I hope you got some education today and at least some solidarity in how you're feeling.
Yeah, thank you so much for listening to another episode of Beyond the Boob, and we will see you next week for week 7.
Bye.